Okay, what's going on, y'all? This is your boy, Leader Johnson. We are at Follow the Leader Sports Podcast. I'm back, y'all, to talk about a couple of things. Let's get into the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to get into this real quick. Let's just start off by saying this. Just to talk about the Eagles. People got to be patient. People got to be patient. What are we doing now? Like, what are we doing? We're not seeing the injuries. We're not seeing that these injuries are worse than they've ever been. And it's crazy because even in the Super Bowl, in 2017, remember Alshon Jeffrey started out hurt. Ronald Darby was hurt. And that was big enough. It was guys getting hurt. Peters got hurt a little bit. There were guys getting hurt. But then, you know, guys came back. You know, then Carson Wentz went down. I was like, oh, man. That itself, just remember that year. That year was, like, crazy, right? Remember? Like, that was like, dang, this is crazy. It's happening. They had to sign some other vets that had been in the Super Bowl. They had a lot of guys on their team that won Super Bowls with other teams. But people didn't know about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl team was special. And I think it needed to be more of a documentary on their team, just the players that was on their team, because it was Super Bowl experience. It was really a team that was guided by guys that had already been there. They already took their lumps. And they was ready to do it again, you know. So it was just real good. But anyway, the next year, after the Super Bowl year, injuries. Injuries. Once again. Then last year. We're talking about last year. We know what happened. That was like, oh, my God. I mean, the way it hit at the end of the season was like a total surprise. Like, it was like, to jump out. Like, so you had to really get other guys that stepped up. And that's the year it's not going to be talked about. You might have to go back. I think Doug Peterson is going to have an interesting Philadelphia career, because that year has to be talked about somewhere in the Philadelphia history. Because that's crazy how we made it. And it was like nobody. I mean, when you usually think about a run, it's usually some names. But, man, I mean, Ward and Burnett. It was guys that just had to step up. Now it's this year. This year is on top of the short offseason and training camp was totally, that's messing a lot of teams up. And Philly is one of them for having so many new faces. You know, Jackson's back, but he's hurt. And Jeffrey wasn't even there. So now we're talking about young guys like Arcega Whiteside in his second year after needing a full camp. And you're putting them out there. Ward Jr., you need full camps with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz now has new receivers. I just think guys needed reps. Now you got new guys and expectations for Hightower and Watkins. And now you look at Travis Fulgham. Wow. I want to know this about Travis Fulgham. What was the decision to put him in, like, to get him these reps? Like, the scouting team, people are talking about draft picks and all this. Philadelphia has more than made up for it by undrafted rookies. Everybody's talking about the draft class, who they drafted. Philadelphia always goes and digs and either gets late-round bloomers or undrafted guys. Look at Nate Herbig. I mean, people have to stop talking about it's just so premature to talk about the draft class. And they did a great job. But it's just horrible. Jason Kelce spoke up on it. You've never seen nothing like this. He said they deal with injuries, but wow, I mean, this is crazy. It's just Kelce on their line. Like, Philadelphia has to be, listen, when I know the Washington loss was a little crazy. I mean, you looked at it at Miles. I think if Miles Sanders was there, yes, that's a big difference because Carson had to work with Rager, you know, Jackson, he was there, but I mean, I don't think he was involved. Him and Ertz wasn't even involved in that game like they should have been. If you look at that game in Washington, those two guys have to be involved. And they weren't involved. Then you don't have Sanders. So your big weapons was Jackson and Ertz. They should have been involved. And that was a total, to me, in that offense, that's what really just blew it out of proportion. I mean, I just felt like it was no chance. When those two guys are not setting the tone for the offense, you're playmakers. You know, so that part. Now, looking at this team now, like, gosh, and Fulgham has just stepped up. I mean, I don't care what happens. It's time to get rid of Alshon. If you got a stud like this doing what he doing, it's time to feed. If him and Wentz are like this, you need to wake up. It's a young receiver that's good with Wentz. Wake up, Rosemond. Wake up. Immediately put him in that team. I mean, put him in the offense. Now, right now this year, I do understand letting Alshon Jackson finish this off. But Fulgham, it's time. He has and then you see with Rager, it's a chemistry going on there with some young guys. Time to feed them. Whatever Arcega didn't get it as quick as Fulgham did. So, and I was more than a fan of Arcega Whiteside. I'm not saying get rid of him, but I'm saying Fulgham has moved up because he's quickly gotten used to Wentz, and Wentz has gotten used to him. So now it's time to go with those two guys for the future. Ward Jr. goes against Arcega Whiteside. Let's see how that goes. It's just time to earn your job. And then you still got Hightower and Watkins. Oh, wow. I think Rager and Fulgham will earn their keep. If Fulgham keeps, he just had 75 yards on 6 catches again. After catching 10 catches, he's for real. Travis Fulgham is for real. Listen, Travis Fulgham is for real. So we're talking about a FCS connection. Old Dominion. North Dakota State. Then you still got Dallas Goedert in there from South Dakota State. It's crazy right now. I think that team's going to be okay? Now, this year, you know, they're not going to win the Super Bowl, but they're going to compete. And I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think it's going to be the second round bloom because this team has to get chemistry. And now with injuries, you're really going to see who's about it. We're going to test some manhood now. We're going to see who's ready to play. Who's ready to step up. Come on, take your pick. Next man up. Now starting early. It's not late in the season. Now Wentz gets to fill out who these guys are. Unfortunate injuries. You know, I would like to see more Boston Scott. I was really thinking about Clement and Sanders and Boston Scott all really making some impact, but that's not happening. If Sanders had a good game last game, 100-yard game, he's a for-real back. He's one of the best backs in the league. And he's going to do more and more with that ball. He kind of reminds me, Ricky Waters, and Ricky Waters is a type of back he's more like. And then you're looking at, we're talking about Marshall Faulk to Ricky Waters type. You know, you got to look at the size. I mean, you're looking at stuff like that, and you just look at what they have as a team. And I think soon it'll all come together. But right now, not enough people are healthy. And Ertz has to impact. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. But they have to start getting Zach Ertz involved in the game more. Period. I don't care what you got to do. Get this man the football. People are saying, oh, he's getting older. No. I refuse to believe this man. He's not getting the ball. If he's not catching the ball, then he's not. Saying he can't get open, find ways to get Zach Ertz the football. That's offense's problem. That's what it is, man. Now, looking at what could happen, when if we can get Jackson and Jeffrey back for the rest of the year, or at least for most of the year in the playoffs. If we could, listen, you get those two on the field, it's dynamic. You got to let these guys keep playing together. Jackson never got a chance to play a full season with Jeffrey. You know, Jeffrey has to get healthy. Both these guys get hurt. And it's just bad for the receiving corps to have their two star receivers hurt because they can do some serious damage on the football field. And I don't know what it is with Jackson. He just keep getting hurt. When he comes back, it's certified. I know that the game is watching this and that. He don't have games like that all year. The majority of the year, he's killing you. He'll have some games like that, whatever. I think misunderstanding, miscommunication, get Jackson involved, whatever. Jackson is a star. Let him play. You won't even see, they forget about him when he's not playing. It's always like that. But when he starts playing, it's like, oh, Jackson is this, and oh, look at him, 50-yard catch. And quickly, as soon as he gets hurt, listen, but that's what happens in football. You got to stay healthy. And that's Jackson's problem. Jeffrey, they just can't stay healthy. So now it's guys like Fogum and Rager that give you a sense of, because Fogum is 6'2". He has size, and he is being and Rager has shown he's Jackson-like. So that's great sign for the receiving core. Hightower's showing a little bit of this and that. You know, we'll see. I just think that they'll have – those guys can all really be good. I think they really went high for receivers in surplus because this was a great receiving class. Quez Watkins and Hightower are not done. I'm really – and then you still got J.J. Arcega. We're really going to see what this receiving core can really be like. I don't think they should draft any more receivers and just let these guys work it out with Wentz. Like, he has some talent there. Arcega, Whiteside, Hightower, Watkins, Fogum, and Rager. Those are, and then you look at Ward Jr. This is going to be something to see how this goes down because they do have talent. They're just young. Is Boston Scott going to be a part of the Miles Sanders? Are they going to try to get him involved more? I mean, this guy can scatter around like they just don't know what to do with guys. Boston Scott, screen passes. Get this man in space. I think also with the offensive line not being all the way there, it really, really messes things up. It really does. You could just see it. I mean, they have playmakers, but I guess they don't have the blockers. Wins had a heck of a game, 30-28. They lost to the Ravens. I mean, come on. Look what they got. And offensive line against a defense like that. Look what they got at receiver. Look what's going on. Like, you know, to have Sanders is a breath of fresh air than Ertz. I mean, I just feel like we're going to see what happens. I think people, they do know about Ertz. They are throwing packages at him. You know, people at him, defenders at him. Double teams could be definitely coming. But other guys, I mean, still get him the ball some type of way. Just get it in his hands. So people that are keeping their eyes on him and have the assignment of him or have to move around. You know, if it's a screen pass, if it's a side pass, you got a couple blockers in front of them, something. Make people come to Zach Ertz, and then you could throw it around. You know, just get your weapons the ball. And Ertz is that athlete. He's the type of athlete you could do that. Screen pass it, boom, he run. I mean, I think that's a great move for a Zach Ertz, a guy like that. But once again, injuries is just, this is retarded the way things is going. This is crazy. You don't have Jackson. You don't have Jeffrey. You don't have Goddard. That's another weapon, super weapon, you know. Then the offensive line is only Kelsey. But everybody's hurt except for Kelsey. You know, you had Dillard and Brooks get hurt. You know, it was Brooks and it was Dillard. I mean, crazy. Super crazy. So it's to come out with that almost beating Baltimore. This shows you that this team is going to be, just give it a minute. And just give it a little minute. You know, right now, they're losing. But soon, it's going to be a streak. It's going to be one. The streak is going to come. Philadelphia Eagles are going to be one of the hottest teams in football. Mark my words. Soon, everything's going to come together. It's going to be Jackson. I don't think Jackson, there's no way you're going to tell me Jackson's out for the year and Jeffrey's out for the whole year. That's not going to happen. And they're not going to be out. When they finally come back, they'll be healthy. And this is how Jeffrey, anytime Jeffrey starts the season like that, he's usually healthy the rest of the season in the playoffs. All right, now we got with Jackson. He started out last year, and then Jackson was out for the year. Now, it's going to be interesting. Now, that's one thing I got to read into. I think Jeffrey would definitely be back. Matter of fact, I can guarantee Jeffrey will be back playing. And after that, he's not going to get hurt, you know. He usually stays the whole year. This is how it goes. You know, when he sits out of injury, that's what happens. But we'll see what happened with Jackson. I don't really think, looking at his injury, it's going to be a whole year thing. It's not like last year. So I think you're going to get both those guys back with Wentz. And Travis Fogum will be a part of that trio. And then Drager's coming back. Like, at the end of this season, these guys are not out for the season. People are not. Let's talk about this. Eagle fans, listen to me. These guys are not out for the season. Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, Kelsey, them guys, you know, when Lane Johnson and Jason Peters come back, okay, you put those guys in there at the offensive line, it instantly changes. Period. They'll be back. They're not out for the year. You got a new rising young guy, Nate Herbig. That's what you find out. Okay, so now this is going to be something different. You know, Mulata is another guy who does his work. You're looking at more and more offensive linemen, you know. I mean, more and more guys are stepping up. Look at the defense. The defense just has to get, I think that's the thing that's worrying me. We need to, the secondary, we just have to be better than what, they got to come on with it, you know. Slay has to step up. I mean, that money, this is not, he's supposed to be the game changer, so he has to be more consistent and ready to take guys. So we'll see exactly how this, the secondary, all of them, I mean, they've been okay. I got to see more out the secondary. They have to be more playmakers. We need more takeaways. We need more shutdowns. We need that. McLeod, Mills, all right, Slay, Maddox, LeBlanc. We need all these guys to be dogs. And this secondary is not doing that. They're not going nowhere. And I think that the way they're playing now, the way that this team is playing now, you get the guys back, they can make the playoffs, but they can't advance nowhere if their secondary is doing that. Linebackers, oh, Jerry just, oh, I don't know what to say. Just see what, I mean, wow. I mean, you know, we need more of an athletic guy there. I mean, wow. You can run right up the middle of the Eagles. It really does a lot. Like, we're not used. Eagles are not used to that. Now, Singleton's looking like he's doing something. We'll see what happens. We'll just, it's a lot of guys that was there that was, that's hurt. Supposed to be there. So, we'll see what happens. Duke Rowley or TJ. We'll see how these guys have to all, the linebackers have to all step up. TJ Edwards, Alex Singleton, if one guy's not doing it, we need two other guys to be there. If Jerry's missing it, then where the other guys at? Duke Rowley, what's up? So it's just time for that. But the, you know, defensive line seems like they're the most consistent out the whole defensive unit. This defensive line is a monster. So if everybody else does their job, this team could be, when your defensive line's putting pressure, ooh, if the secondary start, it's going to be more sacks. If the secondary start doing it, it's going to be more sacks. That defense has the potential. If their secondary step up, it's, everything's going to open up. And we need Slay to lead that. Him and McLeod have to lead that charge. And Jalen Mills has to teach a Green Goblin. He's a champion. He's been there. You know, Avante Maddox, they believe in the youngsters. LeBlanc, they believe in them guys. So, it's going to be some tests, but believe, when everybody starts getting healthy, when God, you know, you look at Rager, you look at Jeffrey, Jackson, they're all coming back. Peters, Johnson, they're all coming back. And just enough that the receivers coming back, just giving them some more offense, is big. The defenses have to step up, but the offense, they got guys coming in that can change it. Coming back to, I want to talk a lot about, there's going to be some stuff going on with Villanova basketball that's going to be huge. And I want to talk and get a little bit into this season because this could be special. Because I keep feeling this. I keep really feeling it. I mean, it's just so many good players on this team. Can anybody just really look? And they've all proved a little something to you, or some of them have something to prove. Antoine and Slater, they have something to prove. These are talented guys. These are not no slouches. These are top 50, top 60, top 10, top 20 guys. Okay, like Slater's a top 60 basketball player out of his class. Antoine's a top 15 guy. Okay. Dogs on their teams. Dogs. Paul IV, reigning high school. Dogs. Winners. Players. Guys that have NBA potential. And it's really going to be interesting to see what role Slater plays. Because Slater's going to have a chance to impact if he wants to. He could be the Michael Bridges of this team. If Slater impacts, he'll get the ball. Nobody's going to get rushed for nothing. Slater can easily have Samuel's job next year. Easy. Easy. Not even flinching. No matter who's coming in next year. Slater, that's his job to lose. This is his year to, and the guy has the talent to play both ways on both sides of the court. I'm so excited. I really want to see this guy succeed. He's one of my favorite high school basketball players. Good player, winner. I really want to see this guy do it, and I think it's his year this year, and I think he's looking to do it. I mean, this is it. It's your junior. You're playing for your starting position next year. You're playing for that. I know it's about Antoine Stay, and it. He's playing. Listen, no, he's not rushing. Justin Moore is going to be a sophomore too next year. Like, regardless, these guys are going to be here. Regardless, and they're going to impact. Moore, and no matter where they play at, Moore and how many, they both got the same amount of years. They're both going to, from now on, they're going to play and they're going to impact. Regardless, they're going to get their minutes. And whether they stay from sophomore to junior, they're going to get their minutes. Doesn't even matter. So everybody, let's get this out your heads. Oh, this is somebody going to take somebody time. If anybody thinking it, no, both these guys have a chance to be NBA players. Ask DeVincenzo. All right? If you're good, you're good. You're going to get your time in Jay Wright's system. So this is going to be fun to see. Now, because I think this guard, I keep talking about guard. If nobody's proud to be a Villanova, Nova Nation, you part to be the you in the nation, man. If you in the nation, you should be so proud. Because guard you has been, just like Penn State, okay? I'm going to say Penn State saying LBU. Now they should be proud. They got a whole bunch of dogs. Villanova has five guards that can play. Everybody forgetting about Chris Archdiacon. This guy can score. He can score. If they ever let him loose, whenever he gets loose, he's going to show you what he's about. I'm all with Eric Dixon. This guy was a great get. Once again, Jay Wright coming through and getting a guy under the radar just like he did Colin Gillespie. Watch Chris Archdiacon, though. Then you got Caleb Daniels. Oh, he got a transfer. Landed a good one. Boom. In the transfer market. A dog. His team was losing, but he was the dog in there, and you got him. Just like he did with Cremo, but this guy played in a tougher conference. And he is good. Oh, my God. He's showing it. And when Cremo came there, he wasn't, you know, bombing on him and showing Daniels, dog, going to get it. He proving it. I mean, he's going to be scoring 20 points on people. He's going to play both sides of the court. It's no way, Jay Wright says. He has the luxury, because he was talking about when Quinterly came in there, when his Booth was there, how he was like, well, yeah, Quinterly could play the two. I remember the one interview. He was like, yo, Quinterly could play the two. We testing this out and, you know, having him come off the ball. So now, looking at Daniels, it's the same. When you see a guy like that, yes, of course he's going to do that. Of course, Gillespie's going to be the point. There's going to be times he gives Gillespie rest. That's going to be so good on Gillespie. Oh, man. Then there's going to be times Gillespie plays next to Daniels. They're the two experienced guys. It's going to happen. Then you put Antoine in there. Then you put Justin Moore. Then you put Moore at the point. See, I think Gillespie and Antoine, only two guys that are not. I mean, you could put Antoine at point. He could bring the ball up, but no, he's more natural. Gillespie's big enough to do two guard, but they're better at their positions at shooting guard and point guard. But see, Moore and Daniels are interchangeable. You know, Moore plays some point, you know, helping Gillespie, and you know, Daniels has done, you know, he can play the two, so you could put those two guys interchangeable. But Antoine and Gillespie, to me, are the two best players. The best backcourt there, period. Whether Daniel does what he does or more, it's Gillespie and Antoine. Like, That is just let them play together. Let them start. That is basketball. It's Jersey and Philly connection. All right, you get those two guys to play together with the athleticism. People are forgetting. People are saying stuff that are really getting to me because it's like you forget how good. When Antoine starts coming, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh. Wait till Antoine starts raining on. Antoine's going to take their starting position. It's no question he's going to take it. And I'm saying it. Whether it's early in the season or late in the season. Or I'm going to put it like this. Maybe he won't. But maybe he's still going to get the... Let me take that back because it's a Jay Wright. He can score 20 points all he wants. He still come off the bench. Jay Wright, the only person I ever heard say six starter. You know what I'm saying? So he can easily come off the bench and still do this. Let me take that. But he's going to be the best guard. He's going to be best scoring guard. Best scoring guard on that. Period. And then you're looking at what he can do passing the ball. He can do so much with the basketball people. He can play the point position. You put him at the point, that's not his natural position, but he can bring the ball up and distribute it. So his defense, people are going to recognize what type of defender Antoine is when it's time for the game to be. It's going to be the year Brian Antoine, Sky Lewis. Florida's going to be a good team. Brian Antoine, Sky Lewis finna act a donkey right now in college basketball. It's finna be something. Like, I love Florida's squad. I absolutely love their squad, man. You see, Scotty Lewis is really getting ready to show people what he's about. And then Antoine, I mean, you think they're not ready for this? This is what they've been waiting for. These two dudes are prime time, showtime, ready to play. You look at where Villanova's at right now. And let's talk about Jermaine Samuels. See, we talk about, a lot of people want to say, oh, Jeremiah Robinson, Earl. And, you know, people want to talk about, because he's going to have I'm excited to see what Robinson Earl does, man. Like, I'm excited to see wherever he plays, four or five. I think it's going to be four. And Dada plays the five. I think it's just good for Robinson Earl's growth. I think it's good for the team, the leadership, I think he's going to impact anyway. And you put Robinson Earl back in his natural position. He'll be a mismatch. Not too many power. It was hard for Simmons to mess with him, but, you know, it was also hard for him, you know, playing against bigger guys like Azabuka. You know, it was real hard. These are big guys. So you put him against Simmons where he can really mismatch over him with his athleticism. And, you know, he's an explosive guy, power forward. I mean, put him at power forward. I just think it's his natural and best position, the way he can dominate people. He can dominate at power forward. He can step out and play outside. I mean, he could just do. This will unleash the Robinson Earl we need. He could bring the ball up, you know, bring the ball up the court. You know, come from the outside, inside. He could just do a lot with the ball. You let Dada worry about the middle, the dirty work, and, you know, the defense, and, you know, being the postman. Now, Jermaine Samuels, I just see so much. With Bay out of there, Jermaine Samuels is about to show everyone exactly what the top 50 recruit, why teams were after him. Jermaine Samuels is about to act like last year I thought was going to happen, but Bay ended up taking it straight over. Like, that was just it. Now it's all Samuels. Like, you're going to see Robinson Earl do his thing, but Samuels is the vet. And he was already starting to come at the second half of the season, really cooking. He's going to be looked at to make that move. And then Robinson Earl, watch out for Robinson Earl. I think Robinson Earl, Samuels, and Gillespie are the top three for sure for this squad. I just think this is going to be a good good big three. And then you got Dada, and then you got... If Antoine and Moore are there, though, that's the crazy part. You still got them there. This is such a dangerous team because of that. And you're looking at Eric Dixon. Like, they're going to – we forgetting who's going to back up the 4 and 5. Cole Swider. He's going to be deadly next year. He missed a lot of shots last year. He's going to come back. Dude's too good of a player. You don't realize who Villanova really got when they got Cole Swider. He's going to end up being the guy. To me, I think he'll be good enough to be on NBA radars. His jump shot is deadly. He's a scorer. A guy like this coming off the bench, Cole Swatter and Eric Dixon? Do you know who these guys are? It's crazy. And you want to talk about next year? I'm thinking it's Slater, Swatter, Dixon, Antoine. And if you ask me, I think Antoine and Justin Moore. Listen. I mean, well, you got Khalib Daniels. Let me take that back. I think Khalib takes over. He'll be the point guard with Antoine, Justin Moore. That'll be the deadly three-guard rotation. And I think it's possible Brizzy could be redshirted, but if not, Archie's going to get his time. It's not Brizzy coming in. It's Archie's time. He's not going to rush Brizzy. No, Archie next year is going to get all types of time. That's going to be the four-guard rotation. Chris Archie, Justin Moore, Brian Antoine, and Khalib Daniels is still going to have a good four. I mean, Guard U is in full effect right now. Then you still got Brizzy coming with guys like Longino, who, if you look at it, Longino can play the three, 2-3, score. You're bringing in Trey Patterson. Just good recruiting right there. Then you get you another big guy to dance with Eric Dixon. I mean, that's a good tandem to have right there, to have Njoku next to Dixon. I mean, you bring him off the bench next to the way Wright is. I think that's another reason why Jay Wright don't want to go nowhere. Jay Wright don't want to go nowhere because it's looking good right now. Nova's getting so good at recruiting, and teams are getting good, and their teams are getting real good, man. I mean, if you're just a basketball junkie, you just got to love Villanova getting so much talent over the years. And within their ratio now, and in this era of him being the coach of the decade, Villanova puts people in the NBA. They put, Kentucky, we know they're used to it. Duke, they're used to it. But Villanova wasn't doing this, and for them to be doing what they're doing and then winning national championship, because Wisconsin won national championship, Virginia, they didn't do, and they weren't successful at the ratio of like Nova was, and put guys in the NBA after championships. Like, sometimes players that win championships don't become none. You look at Josh Hart. He's been a good player in the league. Real good player. Known player. DeVincenzo, starting for a playoff caliber Milwaukee Bucks. And Amari Spellman, people have yet to listen. They better watch out. He'll get his shine. Jalen Brunson over there at Dallas. He was a player of the year. These guys are standing and just them staying in the NBA and impacting. Where they're impacting. Eric Pascal. Look, oh my gosh. I think that's the one that's opened people's eyes big time because he was a transfer. He was an A-10 player of the year. A transfer. And he wasn't rated big at all. I mean, he was like a 3-star. And he wasn't really, recruited like that. Comes over, loses weight. Stronger, faster. It was stronger, faster, and look how he's playing. You look at guys like, Boof and Chef who have shown talent in the G League. I mean, that's just capital. You look at Archie Diacono getting contracts. It's undrafted. Like, Villanova players are NBA players. And now you see them getting this talent now, and it's like, you saw Michael Bridges. I didn't even mention Michael Bridges. Now, because I was going to say Sadiq Bey and Michael Bridges. These are two guys that they moved up. Like, Bey could be a lottery pick. Bridges became a top 10 pick. And I think Bey's a top 10 pick, just like Bridges. And Bridges, look what he's doing in the NBA. He's starting to come into his own. Bey is going to be, NBA, I'm telling you, if you're a recruit, if you stay with Villanova, you're going to be something. If you're looking to really, if you are good from Villanova, you get drafted. So this is, you know, it's crazy. Looking at it, it's crazy. This team can do so much damage. You got big guys. Look at the team. Look what they got. Samuels has Slater backing them up. Just look at it. Samuels has another top 60 guy backing them up. Last year, you see him run. You see his energy. You see Slater can do it, but he had just started kicking up his notch at the end of this. You saw him progress near the end of the season. Oh, man. I just think he's ready, and I'm believing in it because this guy's good. He's a good guy. I think he'd be a productive NBA player somewhere. Cole Swider backing up Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Come on. Are you kidding me right now? Eric Dixon backing up Damir Cosby Roundtree. Look at that. Look at these recruits. And then you got Brian Antoine and Justin Moore. Ooh, it's crazy. And Colin Gillespie with Caleb Daniels. And you still got Archie as the fifth guard. It's just an unbelievable team to look at. And before I get out of here, man, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, Leader Johnson. Got a lot more Philly Sports Network stuff. I just want to say that I just feel like Villanova, the next championship I see Villanova, could be this one. I think this year they can just do it. I just don't think Kentucky and Duke, but Kentucky and Duke has some interesting. I really like these two teams coming in and Gonzaga's team. But Villanova has three champions still on the team from the team. And if Jay Wright pulls this off, wow, the man, the coach of the decade, winning another title. And then I still think that not next year, but the year after, when they get Jalen Duren comes to Villanova from the 2022 class with Justice Williams, that's a championship year. If you get both of those guys in Villanova, they bring a championship to Philadelphia basketball. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see. And Jairus Walker. Those are the three crown jewels of 2022 class. If they get those three, oh my God. Do you understand the excitement? And then don't count out, Chance Restry is still a beast. That's a guy who's on the radar. You know, Mark Armstrong is another point guard. Like, it's real. It's starting to heat up. It's starting to heat up. But if they get Justice Williams, Jalen Duren, and Jairus Walker, that is a beastly team. So I'm out of here, y'all. I'm Leader Johnson. This is Fire Leader Sports Podcast. And I'm your host with the most. So have a toast. I'm out, y'all.